hope everyone is living a yatra as of now. By the causeless mercy, His divine grace, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, we are being given the opportunity to hear part two, the Transcendental Dandan. We will hear today the historical narration of Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and the glorious presentative of Gaudiya Vaishnav Sambhi, instructed Gurudas Prabhu, Malati Mataji, and Shamsundar Prabhu, along with Mukunda Maharaj Janak, to cross the ocean. Prabhupada crossed the ocean going west, the Hare Krishna movement. And these were the first devotees he requested to cross that same ocean going eastward to London. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he preached at a time when British controlled India and most of the world. London was considered the center of the planet, the most important initial city. In fact, even today, all our various time zones in the world are in relation to London. So yes, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent his most learned and dedicated sannyasis to London to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. Srila Prabhupada went to New York. New York had become the most prominent city in America, and America had become the most prominent city and country in the world. Prabhupada's genius to go there first. Once he was asked by an Indian newspaper reporter why he went to New York instead of considering London's central position and influence in the whole world. And Prabhupada, in his humility, replied that I was given a free passage on Jaladuta, Scindia steamship lines. And their boats only went to New York, they did not go to London. In other words, Srila Prabhupada is giving the credit of his mission and his genius simply to the sweep with Lord Krishna. Yes, Srila Prabhupada entrusted such an intimate and paramount important aspect of his mission to these devotees. They were going to the European continent to represent our whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. How they had faith and confidence in their dedication. We will hear today how, along Prabhupada's instruction, the empowerment of compassion and mercy flowed through them. Let us once again offer our deep gratitude to Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Mataji, as Prabhu. And to offer welcome to two special guests that came. We have our Raghunath Prabhu and Bridget. Raghunath Prabhu, one of the most successful and powerful preachers in the 1990s. He dovetailed his propensity being banned, mute banned, very successful, influential, all over America and various parts of Europe. In the spirit that Prabhupada instructed George Harrison, he applied the message of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna conscious philosophy to his lyrics. And actually, through his influence, hundreds and hundreds, thousands, tens and thousands of people were hearing the mantra. Oh, what a sincere, dedicated devotee he was. Many, many people surrendered their lives to Krishna. One of the most creative and empowered preachers of the world. Dear soul, full devotee. At this time, in a prominent location, Los Angeles, California, he's teaching yoga and begins and ends with bhajans and kirtans. And his inner heart's desire is to bring people to the loving service of Sri Krishna. Because he has faith that it is only the sweet love of Krishna that can actually bring true satisfaction to the heart. And Bridget is a wonderful soul, very kind-hearted, very, very special personality. Her first time in India. Can you both stand up, please? Let us very enthusiastically and loudly welcome them to our yatra. Now, fasten your safety belts, because you are about to enter. Purnachandra Prabhu, very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, very learned in our holy scriptures, his beautiful bhajans and kirtans, wonderful devotee. Can you stand up for a moment? Let us welcome Purnachandra. Shamsundar Prabhu, Malati Mataji, Gurudas Prabhu, our hearts are now placed in your hands for the next 3 to 4 hours.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for bringing us here, and all of you for being here with us. Since we were introducing people yesterday, it was mentioned, we were reminded how Srila Prabhupada first came to about Pennsylvania. And we actually have here today, during this yatra, a young devotee, the first and only devotee that I know from Butler, Pennsylvania. And she's traveling with me. Her name is Bhakti Megan. So I'd also like her to be welcome to this yatra. You can stand up. This is her first trip to India also. Srila Prabhupada planted many times. He went somewhere and it appeared not much happened, but he planted the seed, just like the Russian yatra. He went to Russia. He didn't return with any disciples, so it seemed. Because of that solitary journey there, that single journey, the Russian yatra is one of the most powerful yatras on the earth. In Butler, Pennsylvania, it's a little slow to spread it. Finally something. I would like to open by just staying a few words, if you will permit. We are here offering some memories, some anecdotes of Srila Prabhupada. And this is really not meant for entertainment or for amusement, but it is our sincere prayer and desire that all of you will feel closer to Srila Prabhupada, and that your faith in Srila Prabhupada will increase, and your service to Srila Prabhupada and his mission and the Vaishnavas simultaneously increase. I would like to comment briefly. regarding Srila Prabhupada and his very unique and exclusive position, not only as our beloved spiritual master, but actually as a bona fide Jagadguru. Exclusive devotion to Srila Prabhupada and his teachings is not fanaticism. Srila Prabhupada was empowered by Lord Krishna to do what no other spiritual master previous to him had done, which was to spread the teachings and movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the entire world. Srila Prabhupada is just, you know, another name or another photo in the line of disciplic succession. But he is actually an empowered acharya. It's explained that in the Ananti Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in order to successfully spread Krishna consciousness, one has to be empowered, or to spread the movement of Lord Chaitanya, to deliver the holy name, one must be empowered. And Srila Prabhupada was empowered. He was empowered by Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur pioneered and re-established purity and solidified the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was assisted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And together they defeated impersonalism and Mayavadi philosophy, and they re-established the Yuga Dharma, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, as the prime means of deliverance in this age of Kali. So Srila Prabhupada entered into this food. He was empowered as a Shaktivedhar. The Shaktivedhar is one who is given specific power or a specific mission and is deployed by Krishna himself. Prabhupada fulfilled the prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by ensuring that the holy name would be chanted in every town and village. He encouraged us, all of us, his disciples, to go out and spread Krishna consciousness in places that had not previously heard the holy name. He would remind us, Lord Chaitanya would be chanted in every village. And then he would say, so why not take the credit? Because it was going to happen, one way or the other. So he said, not take credit. So his clan follower needs to develop love for Krishna by strictly following in the footsteps and teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And this isn't fanaticism. Sri Prahlad to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in 7th canto of Bhagavatam. And he said, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to creation with material desire, I was falling into a blind well full of snakes. But your servant, Sri Narada Muni, kindly saved me. He took me as his disciple, and he instructed me to achieve transcendence. Therefore, it is my first duty to serve him. How could I ever him? This is the correct mood. And Srila Prabhupada had the same mood towards Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. One time, early in the beginning, as we were speaking in San Francisco yesterday, Srila Prabhupada was going to leave us, it seemed, and return to India to recover from a stroke that had been very weak. And he was speaking about his imminent departure. And he said, I am an old man. I may die at any moment. You must carry on this movement. And we were sitting there, hearing words with terror in our heart. It was so shocking. He had said this before, I'm an old man, I may die at any moment. We didn't believe it. It just seemed like something that was being said. But this time, he had been gravely ill. He was gravely weak. And when he said that, it struck literal fear in our hearts. And one devotee, Mukunda, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, can we ask one of your god brothers to come over here and teach? Because suddenly we realized how little we knew. And that little we knew was completely dependent on Swamiji. Again, as we've mentioned before, we did books, we didn't have videos, we didn't have CDs, we didn't have anything. We had three volumes of Bhagavatam, and they didn't even compare to what we really had, which was through Srila Prabhupada. And he was giving us everything. I mean, write down how to brush our teeth, how to go to the bathroom by using water. I mean, all simple basic things of life. What to speak of teaching us about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. So the thought of his departure, where he just said he may not come back again, was terrifying. So this question was not there because we thought there could be a replacement. Who would teach us? How would we know anything without him? So the question was there. Could we ask one of your godbrothers? His response was very, very intense. He sat up very straight and at the same time very, very still. It was almost as if he had turned into a statue and his breathing. All of us entered into that same predicament. We didn't understand it. We couldn't move because he wasn't. We were just looking at him, our eyes glued to him, but we weren't hardly breathing ourselves. And then he spoke in a very low, grave voice. He said, "Your little master was not an ordinary man. He saved me." And he paused. And then he said, "Someone else comes, and they teach something slightly different from what I have told you, the whole thing will be spoiled." So this was a very deep lesson, and we accepted fully and completely. And never again did that thought ever cross our minds that someone else could come and replace Srila Prabhupada and his teachings and his instructions. He protected ISKCON from the inside and the outside, from influences, and he inspired faith in us by his character, by his example. And you can say that he exemplified the same precise devotion to his spiritual. He built faith through strong lectures, his honesty, his transparency, and there were no scandals surrounding his character. He embodied faith, cheating, a world of faithlessness in a world of impurity, because he himself was the embodiment of purity. So developing faith, gratitude, and obligation for Srila Prabhupada, and its experience service to him. When we get something from a guru, it is formed, and that the guru is giving us a spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So we are obliged to reciprocate because if we have received some, and this is actually the real guru dakshin, that we reciprocate with the knowledge that has been offered to us. So what did Srila Prabhupada want? He wanted we love Krishna. And in order to attain this love, we have to follow his instructions, not someone else's. Following his words, it's not sentimental. That's essential. Just like following a recipe, following a roadmap, you achieve a certain result. Srila Prabhupada often is a great devotee. If I have any qualification, it's my 10% loyalty to my spiritual master. So this loyalty was Srila Prabhupada's source of power to spread the Sankirtan movement world. And to be effective, we, his followers, we have to teach and bolster faith in Srila Prabhupada to represent him effectively. So it is my sincere prayer and my desire to think about Srila Prabhupada, even though we are faulty, that somehow or other his purity and strength will come through our words and you will also feel inspired to continue your service to him. Thank you. Shama Sundar is going to offer a historical preface to our trip to London.
Setting the scene. Let's see, we left off in the late 60s, 1968. By then, the situation in San Francisco was well developed. There was a center, a flourishing center. Devotees were going to different cities of the United States, some mentors. Srila Prabhupada's original message to us that we spread Krishna consciousness as widely in this corner of the planet as quickly as possible was still brewing in us. And as we look to which place to be spreading Krishna consciousness, we started thinking about London, because at that time the scene was shifting from the west coast to more toward London. London was setting the theme for clothing fashions, music fashions, cultural fashions of which seemed to be originating in London. It became a very attractive place for us to think about spreading Krishna consciousness. Several things were going on at the same time. Being very active, adventurous people, we had to get a little bit bored with the zest in San Francisco. It was becoming rather routine. We wanted something exciting and different to do. Looking back through years, I found an old letter from February 5th, 1968, to Mukunda Das, who at that time was open in Los Angeles. And he said, "What do you think of this idea of Shama Sundar's to go to London and meet these Beatles? So, remember back, it seems that we had kind of an idea to spread Krishna consciousness by going to the most influential people on the planet at that time. Many of you may or may not know that at that time, men were practically setting the theme for all of the youth of the world. Whatever they said in their songs was listened to by everyone. Millions and tens of millions of people taking the words that they heard on these songs by these four men and taking them into their life. I don't been anything like that happen or since in music. So gradually talking about maybe we could get a trip together to London, no visible means of income or any idea yet how to do it. Malati was pregnant, so there was obviously we couldn't. And one day, just chance, I think yesterday you might remember I told that story how I was put in jail. Well, when the police captured me, I had a lot of money in my pockets. It seemed to have disappeared after my arrest, so I never gave much thought about it. But apparently the police had confiscated that money and put it as evidence somewhere. By law, they were required to return the money. So one day, just by chance, we got a check in the mail for $1,000. Almost $2,000, which was equivalent to a lot more now. But. So suddenly we had the means to finance. Oh, go ahead, do tell it.
That part happened. But also another part that ensured our passage, which was one day there was a knock on our door, or a buzz on the bell, and this young man was there that I didn't recognize, but he recognized. He had known this person previously. I mentioned briefly that he had been in Morocco studying herbology of sorts, with a packet of these herbs. And we no longer had need for this type of herbs. But our friends across the street, the Grateful Dead, they had this type of natural substance. So there was an exchange. They got the herbs and we got some money. And that money was also added towards our passage to London. And I remember very clearly thought about this, whether we should or shouldn't do it. But then we thought, but Swamiji said we should do, you know, everything suitable for Krishna. And this would certainly help us get to London. So we did it.
He said we should Krishnaize everything material.
So I remember sitting with Srila Prabhupada and proposing to him, after we got money, we started to formulate a plan amongst us that the six of us would go. And we wanted to ask Prabhupada. And he, of course, agreed and met us and kind of plan a preliminary journey in our minds to London. But then he was called away to Montreal to because of a visa problem in America. So we lost personal contact with him. But we kept on through letters and by telephones arranging this trip to London.
Actually, during that time with the visa, that was another, like, very scary moment because if he couldn't get his visa to stay in America, our minds were really racing. Even Prabhupada, he was trying to think of different possibilities. And at one point, I remember thinking to Dayananda Prabhu, Dayananda from 26 Second Avenue, and he said, well, maybe you and your wife can adopt me. I can be your slightly elder son. Always creative.
Trying to remember the mood of those days, and it seems like we were talking about yesterday, there was just no limit. We didn't think about, well, if there could be any problem getting to London, and we didn't think about problems to overcome because we always knew every day Krishna would assist us in every way. And we acted or accustomed to this kind of almost challenging Krishna to help us because we would put ourselves in impossible situations. Almost, and always we could see him come with an obstacle one way or another, just like this money suddenly came in the mail. There suddenly we had our means to London, so the dream being pushed forward by all the time and by constantly adjusting things to make us get there. We had only a sketchy plan. A thousand wasn't enough. Srila Prabhupada said, I will loan you some money.
Yeah,
he loaned us some money, right?
What it was that in order to, at that point in time, due to the influx of the hippies, England was starting to tighten their borders. And they were making it very difficult to get into the country because so many hippies were pouring in. So when you would arrive in England, most hippies didn't have any. Instead of saying no hippies, they would ask people, do you have any money? And you'd have to show money when you entered. And so we realized, although we didn't have sufficient money to really prove we could maintain ourselves there. So it was agreed that Srila Prabhupada would loan us $1,500 just formed and budding BDT. And this was really an indication of Prabhupada's strong desire to have this mission formed in London and his strong desire that we should go because Prabhupada let go of the BBT money very easily. It was specifically meant for printing books. But he also reasoned if we began the chapter in England, there would be more availability for books and only to be a loan. It was just temporary. We would show the money and then it would be sent back.
I don't think BBT, though, in
it was just
days. I'd put it in his personal account.
That's what the intent was. It was just being formed at that point.
Yeah.
Well, and then what happened was when... Are you going to tell that?
Yeah.
So with just this is specifically about that money, is that when we left San Francisco to go direct, we first went to Montreal to take the blessings and darshan of Srila Prabhupada, who was still there. And that's the point where the money was transferred. Then from Montreal, we went to New York City, where we had a very cheap flight from New York to not directly to London, but to Amsterdam. From Amsterdam, we took a boat over. We all landed together. But then, because we only had this one amount of money, we decided we would pair off and we'd go two by two into England. So the first two was myself, the first John Cinder and our small child, Sadie, the little baby, she was 6 weeks old. We went in. And I had prepared by going to the English consulate in New York, and I had all these pamphlets about, so we came to the, they go, what are you going to do? And we weren't dressed like this. We had on regular clothes. So what are we going to do here? So I said, we're going to visit the castle of the United Kingdom. And I pulled out my pamphlets, and he said, do you have any money? And I said, we sure do. And he pulled out the money, and they gave us 6 months, and in we went. First stop was the Western Union, the money back to Amsterdam, so the next two could come back in. And the next two came in, repeat the scene. The money was wired back to Prabhupada. Somehow or other, there was some error on behalf of the bank, and this money was temporarily lost. And that was a great, great source of stress, because we had no permit in England. We had no means of gaining money. And $1,500 is, it's a good chunk of change now, but then it was, you know, far, far more scope and much more difficult. So there we were. We'd finally arrived in England. And, you know, although we're always into a master, we had a reel in our hands. Suddenly we just lost his mind. And I just have a little letter here. And Srila Prabhupada, he discussed this. Regarding the bank, I'm very sorry. This was 1968. We had arrived in England on Radhastami, which was right at the end of August that year. So this was very fast. He said, regarding the bank, I'm very sorry that this was a fixed bank. Anyway, I have immediately addressed them one letter complaining why the money has not reached the destination till now. And at the same time, I have advised Brahmananda to fly to Montreal to inquire about it, because now he finally left Montreal and in San Francisco. So you have got the receipt, and you can go to the charter bank and say that because this bank has already dispatched, we have money. Are you right? I'm very sorry that this bank is third class and could not serve properly.
This illustrates how closely Prabhupada managed every aspect of our lives. We were so incompetent at doing almost anything that Prabhupada practically had, at least one of us got a letter per week, so that this, by six letters per week, somehow or other, Prabhupada was guiding everything that we made, everything that we did. And also, to go back just a little bit, you have to kind of understand our consciousness at the time was this, that we had lived intimately with our spiritual master, our beloved, the center of our lives, for 2 years, and he had become everything to us. So the fact that we were going so far away, those days to London seemed far away, the other side of the world.
Very dear disciple of
Shakespeare. And to be gone for so long, we thought maybe we'll be gone for years before we see Srila Prabhupada again. It was a great time and period for us to go away like that. And he also felt that separation with us because we were his beloved children. So we wrote back and forth. Almost at least one of us got a letter. This is the type of thing Prabhupada was doing. He was so concerned about a bank transfer. Thought about it for a long time. He went into that period to decide what to do with this bank statement. And he actually personally wrote a letter to our bank manager in London. This is the kind of direction Prabhupada was every week, every day. Much about becoming friends with the Beatles or anything like that. We just wanted to get a center started in London. And we had prepared a center in London. We thought before we went that we should wait and not take just any place, some storefront or some place in the suburb, but because London was such an important, and that this center would be so important to Prabhupada, that we should wait and have a center exactly in the center of London and make a grand temple, something small, not Frederick Street or 22nd Avenue, but something that we could install Prabhupada there as the king of London. And even the queen herself could sit there and feel at home. We didn't think about Beatles or any of that kind of thing for a long, long time. So our progress was very slow. Just when we arrived, as Malati said, we barely got into the airline tickets one way. They were $65 a piece. Right, airways, special deal. And that's why the authority have a certain bank balance, but one-way ticket. So we had no friends. We didn't have any addresses. We didn't have one person in the giant metropolis knew. So they're called bedsitters. They're little places you take by the night with breakfast. Bed and breakfast type places in London. Our feet around. I had been there as a young hippie wandering around. Oh, I was told not to use that word anymore. A hippie. We were actually flower children. So, Gurudas, what did you stay in all these bedsitters?
Well, we actually did have Dr. Coley's address and a letter from Alan to Tom Dreeberg. what?
Ernie L. Yeah, tell about Ernie L.
Malati Prabhu said that what Prabhupada said in San Francisco, I am an old man, I may die at any moment, please spread this movement everywhere. Like Shakt, as you said. But we also, for the first time, also had an idea that this is a movement. This is a movement. So, this team of ours, it's like what one person couldn't do would pick up back. I've seen the growth of Malati Prabhu over the years, from someone who would take butter or thing to someone who nectar to everybody, and her speaking is so Krishna conscious, such growth. Jamuna, part of the team, was a great devotee. When she would sing, it would melt the hearts, so cut everything. Pud called her the best cook in our movement, especially when Himavati was there. He would tease to make her cook better. Jackie Prabhu was so with Prabhupada. No awe and reverence, no bowing down, nothing. She's just like naughty daughter. I mean, any time, no formality.
Scolded him.
No awe and reverence. Govinda Das, when Prabhupada's doctor told him he'd have to have a simple diet, he'd call her the starvation. Mukunda is like the glue between Amrinda and myself. We have our personalities. I had apparently a gregarious personality that could get along with people. I remember they pushed me to meet this Nigel Samuels, we'll talk about. But Kunda's equal poised, expert musician, transient to place else than the Earth planet. He's like my sixth guru, because he played in Lucky Alley, and he was fixed up 2 months before us. But truly fixed up, transcendental. They say he was like Queen Shamashunda. Shamashunda, a great visionary, thinking of things possible that no one would think of. That would be dreamlike. Present and future all. He reminds me of Mark Twain. He's lost fortunes and made at least 5 or 7. He'd always be coming up with some, let's go to the Beatles or let's do this, just like Prabhupada. Once sent me to the American House in Delhi. Had a place for his American students free, but if we couldn't have it, then we could pay him in any current world for it. Elizabeth Bussell. Mukunda had the steadiness of my dear friend Yadavar, who was so steady all these years. He never asked for any praise for himself. And the other day, I saw everybody dancing so hard, it was just like doing it slow and steady. His kirtan slow and steady, always there. So we had a great team. And I just want to, before I continue, and Saraswati's whole call in Conway Hall to dance by dancing herself. Saraswati, playful, and I don't remember her like a baby. You do. But I don't. She was like, part of the team. She was just, and we always say 6½ people went.
It's a half.
And I'd like to so much thank Krishna Chandra Prabhu for making it easy. Also, he was praised yesterday. This is a tremendous, tremendous function, and all the things that have gone into it. And he wrote an email to me. He said, it would be wonderful. And then I emailed back that, yes, I would come, and we would come. And he wrote, to quote Clint Eastwood, you've made my day. So I wanted to quote a Clint Eastwood thing back, but I couldn't remember anything transcendental. So I did. And I would also like to just praise our Radhana Swami, who is the embodiment of carrying on this movement through so many years of possible pain and quarreling and possibilities. He's remained Prabhupada. He's one of the most compromising, open people I've ever met. He's magic. And he's keeping this hope alive. And I'm proud and happy to be his. And then I would like to praise all of you for carrying this on. We may praise people who passed. You're also doing it, and it's fresh for you. And you're chanting. And if you sincerely, fully, to see someone else advance, like the oak tree, Prabhupada said, the oak tree sees the rose, and the rose sees the oak tree, and the oak tree says, how beautiful the rose is, and the rose says, how strong the tree is. And that's about this team I was part of. But I want to also praise you all. And I'd also like to suggest an idea that Prabhupada said to me, that on the spiritual platform, there is no difference between men and women. Sometimes people think that inferior, but it's not so. Prabhupada always pointed out that the women are our first authority because they, who your father, we have to believe them. They say, this is your father. The first authority. And they've nurtured us and kept us alive. This alone is a miracle. In Native American circles, there's a special ceremony where the men go through a rite of passage and tribes where they pick chests with buffalo spikes, horn spikes to vision. They go through many days of this. Women do not have to do this. They go through in childbirth. So, on the spiritual platform, men or women are the same. They're sincere. They are definitely not inferior. We are all in the same boat together, in the conscious boat. So I want us to row this there. So, here we are on the way to Montreal, and we had rides. Jason, Malati, Jamuna, and Janaki went ahead to the bowling alley. We went to the bowling alley into a Timothy Hansaduda. Blankets separated the rooms, so the walls were thin. But Sam Rishund, I don't know if he, but Mukunda Samishnani had a whole jar of gulab jamuns on the way to Mumbai to bring to Pad. It was this big. So we're on the airplane, and one of us said, probably me, let's play the game of eating them the way he eats, because I thought it was the coolest thing that he would eat and not touch his mouth. He'd be able to throw sometimes hard, but usually it'd be wow. So we decided to play that game to see if we could do that. Sunstorf, blink. But we intoxicated, you can imagine, eating a half a jar of gulab jamuns. So when we got to the Montreal border, we were a little hated. The mood was again, Prabhupada was is our father, and we can't wait to see him. So we get to Montreal. I actually found the house just by walking, Chaitra Guru. Somehow I found myself. I saw a picture of Krishna in the window. There he is. I said, I go in psychic ability and listen. Prabhupada said, it is by Krishna's grace. So then it was Janamastami. And I had lots of photographs of Krishna. And then Vyas Puja, and I had lots of photographs of Prabhupada. And in my outrageous way, I had the theory that Prabhupada waited till the day after Janamastami to be born, so wouldn't take any attention away from him. Felt so good. And like I say, I was like Janaki. I wouldn't hesitate to ask a question. It was outrageous. So, back to Godhead had a picture of Lord Narsingha on the front. So I asked Prabhupada, when we go out on Harinam, to say Harinam Samkirtan, we go out in the streets and chant, can I wear a Lord Narsingha mask? So Prabhupada said, yes. Yeah. And he quoted Bhagavad Gita, what great men will follow. But then, to it, told this story about Charlie Chaplin. So I said, in the colloquials that Prabhupada used, say that we could do whatever and others will follow. He said, 50 years before, Charles Chaplin was at a dance. And he had tails. And he said, somebody ripped the tailing coats halfway, so through that. So Chaplin went into the private room, the water closet, the bathroom, and saw that his tailing coats were ripped halfway. So Charles Chaplin ripped his tailing coats all the way. And then he went out again and he danced vigorously, and Prabhupada showed Charlie Chaplin dance with his tailing coats ripped neck. So he saw these tailing coats on the neck, so they went into the private room, ripped their own tailing coats off the neck, and danced like ball dance. And so this part example, as well as he did, that yes, I or we could wear a Lord Narsingha mask when we did Hari Natan.
Yesterday, mentioning the three of us, how Mary's seems almost like we're talking about different rooms in the same house, but that, you know, we also remember the storyline and giving the elephant. So we each have, according to our particular consciousness at that moment and the particular interest we had at that moment, Prad, has that we can present a situation. So I will talk a little about Montreal also. He mentioned these. Actually, there were four ladies. It was Luna Janaki, Saradia, and baby Saraswati. Now, Saradia is actually also daughter and Shamsundar's daughter, although she was slightly older. What had happened was that she was a younger, her teens, and her brother had joined. and became somewhat attracted. But she had a mother who was a, you know, basically a Kali Yuga mother. When she had given birth to this girl, baby, she left the hospital with the baby behind. She just wanted to have a baby. So this was the situation. The mother never wanted this dog. And came upon threat, so she said she took the baby. But it was rather unkind to her. And then when she was older, she would force this girl to go out and steal things. So result, Saradhya, at the time, she would such a happy child. And many times she was forced to school by her mother. So wasn't doing so well there either. And when she came to the temple, very happy. The mother wasn't happy to see her happy and didn't want her to be at the temple. So her mother, Krishna Das, came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked what could be done to assist her. And Srila Prabhupada, and he said that Shamsudra would adopt her. So I was 22, Shamsudra was about 25, 26, and she was at that point 16. But Krishna Das came and spoke to us about it, and we did, well, we'll try to do this. At the court, we went, eventually we took the mother to court, and the father gave his permission when he went to court, and the judge, after hearing the story, the judge was a lady, and she looked at us. Well, it's a little unusual. The father are 24 and 25, daughter is 16, but in this case, I think it is the correct, and she gave full custody of Saradhya. And at that time, her name was Sarah. She was initially given the name Saradhya. Prabhupada loved her so much. She was quite a beautiful girl. And so she said, I can live with, you know, Malati and go to school, I can go all day. But Prabhupada said no. He wanted her to go back to school. And there was a problem there because she had so much school, and when she was in, she had very bad grades. So basically, there was no school that would allow her to go in the school. But Prabhupada was very insistent that she should complete her high school. She actually went to the school that was just away from the temple and went to the principal school. I explained the situation and I begged, you just give her one chance and she won't disappoint you. Somehow he agreed to that. He went to school every day in a sari with tilak on. And her grades went from the bottom, means in America you get F for failing, all the way up to A's and B's. But one of the problems, she went to school, the Prabhupada, and she talked with a lisp. She said, Swamiji, he says, the boys are bothering me. And Prabhupada would think that was very, he would tell her, no, you should leave the school. So she said, the boys are bothering me. They want to come and see me. And he said, sorry, you just give them your address, but temple address. And when they come to see you, they'll see Krishna. So now she graduated from the high school, coming with us. As far as in Montreal, it would be decided either come with us to England or she may go on to Boston to learn painting because she had an interest in art. So she was with us at that point in time. We hit, that's when we set up because there was some, you know, we had such cheap tickets and nothing was guaranteed. So the men stayed behind Gurudas and McClendon and the ladies went ahead. And just like Das was saying how he found Prabhupada's apartment, Janaki and I had the same thing. The minute we got off that plane, all we could think about was finding Swamiji. So we went to the temple, which it was a bowling alley, and there were no separate rooms. There was closed, you know, like rope, clothesline rope, strung, crisscross. Kits and sheets were closed, pinned up, and just made little cubicles. The Grihasthas had little cubicles. The Brahmacharis had little cubicles. The Brahmacharis had little cubicles. And, I mean, the privacy was in your imagination because privacy, and there was only one bath for everybody. That was, so things were very, very close-quartered, very intimate. So they had a little cubicle for us stuff down, and Janet came by stairs. And I remember she stopped and she said, wait a minute, we don't know where we're going. And I said, it's okay, we'll just walk around until we find some orange, because we knew that we would always wash Prabhupada's clothes dry. So we weren't walking, we were running one street to the other, and suddenly we saw it, orange cloth, and we just ran there, and we were in an apartment. You had to step down steps, it was on the ground. And we saw through the Prabhupada's servant, which at the time was Govinda Dasi and her husband, Gosundar. So Govinda opened the door, because Prabhupada came for us, and we went in. The little baby Saraswati in my arms, and I'm starting to obeisances, which now by now I learned to do. And I heard Srila Prabhupada, this, I had a dream about that very child. And I was so shocked. And then he said, that very child, I dreamt this morning. I never asked him, did he tell me, but it was that he has spoken like that about Saraswati, and he had recognized her.
Yeah. I don't have that many memories of Montreal, except that that's where Srila Prabhupada spent several days to go to England, training us. And when we arrived, and even after 2 years of instruction from Prabhupada, we were still very innocent and naive about how to act and how to preach in public, a strange place. So Prabhupada created an intense course. He called us all with him every day and instructed us how to. He gave us initiation. He gave us copies of prayers. He wanted us to, and taught us how to conduct ourselves in the country that's known for gentlemanly manners, which was England. This was what I recall the most. His time to intimately prepare us for going and acting like Brahmins. Up to this time, we were just flower children.
I have memories of Montreal before London. At the Vyas Puja, I was sitting there enjoying myself. Prabhupada said, Gurudas, you will speak something. And so this was a surprise, but I must to speak something. And then a man came, and he said, I don't think these boys and girls should bow down before you. Prabhupada said, as they should not bow down me, they think you should bow down before me. Democracy, majority. So, we did in New York, and did very nicely. And I photographed the New York devotees with their arms raised, and they get nice deport from New York. They came to the. We saw that we're a growing family together. And I just want to say one more thing about the money. You had a round trip. You didn't need much money to get into Great Britain. But years later, one Brahmin came to the, and they said, who is sponsoring you? And they said, the Krishna Temple and Mr. Grant is sponsoring everybody. All our official work is the same. They were all Mr. Grant, because they were like, once we shaved our heads, to them. Mr. Grant sponsoring us. So I get a telephone call. I was the London Temple. And this customs says, Mr. Grant, there's someone here claiming that you're sponsoring them, but they have nothing at all. Nothing. Not a farthing. So I said, are you sure they have no money at all? Not a farthing. I said, then they must come in because he's a monk. If he had a pack, but monks don't have any money, let him in. And they did.
I'm reminded of through the Prabhupada passes, and the dogs will bark, but the caravan will pass. So outside there's a passing caravan, complete in drums and other. I don't know what's going on.